I was just sitting outside and I was journaling, and some really interesting thoughts were kind of coming to me, and I was writing them down, and I was like, wow, I simply cannot keep these to myself. So I came inside and I sat down and I got my mic out, and I have to be at work in 2 hours. But I figured I felt really inspired, and what better time like the present to record this episode, which, by the way, this is my first episode by myself. No one is joining me. No one is going to be interviewed. I'm not having this discussion with anyone. This is truly my first solo episode. So, hi, welcome back to Secrets in Nature. My name is Lexi, and today I just want to talk for a minute from my heart. I do have some notes for this episode, and we're going to get into that in just a second. But right now, I just looked at the audio recording and it said 111 right as I looked. So I was sitting outside a second ago, and I'm in my very late luteal phase right now. I'm waiting for my period. I should be getting it any day. But I was sitting outside reflecting on the weekend, kind of. I'm about to go back to work. It was Memorial Day weekend. I had no plans, which was so nice. Me and my boyfriend just spent the whole weekend together. We relaxed. We did a lot of nothing. Oh my gosh, I watched the live action version of Peter Pan from 2003. They added that to Netflix. I watched that on Friday night. And as I said, I am in my late luteal phase, which could be the reason for this, or the reason could just be that it is an absolute masterpiece of a film. But I did cry two separate times during that movie. It's just so, like, it's just the most magical movie. It's so magical. My favorite movie, probably my favorite movie of all time. And after I watched Peter Pan, we watched Harry Potter, the third movie, which is my favorite. And I'm also in the process of reading A Court of Thorns and Roses, like that series. I'm at the end of book two. Rachel actually got me hooked onto that. I'm just very into fantasy lately. That's just the first thing I want to say. Like, I'm very into fantasy lately. And then this weekend, having like been reading that book, watching those two movies, I like realized, I didn't even really realize this about myself, but how much I love the fantasy genre. And I've always loved it. I've always loved Harry Potter. My brother were obsessed with Harry Potter. Like, I've always been obsessed with Peter Pan. I really do love the fantasy genre, and I don't think I ever like that like clicked as something that I really enjoy. But it makes my inner child so happy to be like wrapped up in a fantasy story. I'm getting a little bit sidetracked. So we have that element of the weekend, right? Like, very thrown in to like the fantasy world. Didn't really have any obligations this weekend other than to just enjoy those things and relax. Last night, me and my boyfriend went to our favorite Mexican restaurant, and I put on this outfit. Oh, that's another thing. I got my toes painted a few days ago, and as I said, I'm like about to get my period. You'd think I would be feeling very like, get the color that I like, get the color that I know I'll like the safe, comfortable option. I went in there and I was like, give me the sparkly lime green on my toes. My inner child was very happy. And then we went out to our favorite Mexican restaurant last night, and I put on this big oversized graphic t-shirt, and it was so colorful. And I put on my pink dangly star earrings. They're so long, they're so beautiful. I bought them from my friend Sarah. She makes them. But I put those on. I put on all my funky, colorful rings, and I had my sparkly lime green toes out and ready for the night. Like, and the whole outfit just made me feel so like fun and free and like just an outfit I wouldn't normally wear, right? So then I was waiting for my boyfriend to get out of the shower, and I was waiting to leave. I was fully ready. I took my phone and I went outside on our deck, and I recorded a TikTok that I've been wanting to record for a really long time, where I reviewed or kind of gave like a summary of the book Real Magic by Dean Radin, which I just finished, and it's such a good book. I would actually love to talk a little bit more about that book in a second. So I'm in my outfit. I'm feeling confident. I'm feeling fun. I'm feeling free. I sit down to record a TikTok that I've been wanting to record for a while, which was perfect because I was in my late luteal phase. I was tying up the loose ends. I was bringing the ideas to fruition. I was finishing something that I've been wanting to finish. And on top of it, I was sitting there talking about magic. And like all of that combined, there's just something so beautiful about all of that. Like, check off all the boxes. The inner child is satisfied. The luteal phase is at work. The ideas are coming to fruition. I'm talking about magic. I also had just finished recording the episode with Rachel, and it was like a weight was lifted off my shoulders because I also was like bringing that idea to fruition. Like, it was just such a successful weekend, and specifically that moment last night just felt really good. And I didn't realize how good it felt until I like was sitting down and like journaling on it, and I was like, these are simply the moments. Like, the way that life is meant to be lived, those are the moments. The moments where you're like, you're sitting there and you're like, this is what I'm here for. I'm here on this earth to like wear the outfits that make me really happy and bring my ideas to life and not just let them sit in the notes app or sit in my brain. And I'm here to talk about magic on the internet. Like, I don't know. Am I here to do that? Maybe, maybe I'm not, but it felt really good to do so. Ugh. And while we're on the topic of the book Real Magic by Dean Radin, I do want to talk about it really quick because it was so juicy. It basically approaches the concept of magic from a scientific standpoint, and it paints a picture of what the future could look like, what our basic human capabilities could look like if we just get out of our own way. And his whole point is that like we are so much in our own way when it comes to tapping into this like potential that we could have, whether it's, you know, the scientists and the scholars just avoiding the conversation of magic at all costs because like they'll literally be laughed out of the scientific community if they engage for even a second, or like, you know, the religious people, they tend to only believe in one specific type of magic if it fits into their religion, but they don't believe in any other kind of magic. And in general, people that are skeptical of magic tend to get so angry at the topic of it just because it makes them so uncomfortable. But oh my gosh, full circle here with this discussion and how much I love the fantasy genre. The reality of it is that we as humans are wildly fascinated by the topic of magic. Like, so much so that the entertainment industry makes billions of dollars off of fictional movies and shows and books about magic. Like, we're obsessed with it. But of course, we're obsessed with it. But if you actually believe in it, that's probably a red flag. There's probably something wrong with you. Like, do you see the issue here? I'm actually so like satisfied at how like full circle that came, because I was just talking about how like obsessed I've been with the fantasy genre lately and how I always have been. And the book talks about how like scholars of the past have kind of been like beating around this bush. He talks about Plato, and I think he refers to it as Plato's cave, because Plato used to compare reality to like, say there was three men chained up in a cave, and they're chained up right in front of a wall, and they've only ever seen the inside of this cave. They've only ever been looking at this wall their entire lives. And one of them breaks free and makes it out into the world. And then he sees everything that the world has to offer. And he comes back to the cave with the other two men that are chained up. And he says, guys, like, there's this whole other world out there. But because the men that are chained up haven't seen it, and all they've ever seen is this wall, they say back to him, like, what are you talking about? That's not real. You're delusional. Well, I don't know. I'm definitely paraphrasing here. But that was literally Plato's comparison, like his depiction of reality in a story. Like, we are all chained to the cave and looking at the wall, and there's so much more that lies beyond what we perceive reality to be. He believed that there was a huge difference between the appearance of the world and the world itself. And I don't really know anything about Plato. Like, I'm not sitting here trying to like be preaching his word. That's just like a part of the book. And also, he made a point to say that Isaac Newton studied alchemy more than he studied physics, which I'm sure isn't really like commonly discussed. Like, we think of Isaac Newton and we think physics. Like, we don't really talk about it if he was studying alchemy. But in the book, the author kind of paints a picture of what studying magic in a scientific way has looked like and what it could look like. And he kind of made it seem like we're heading in a direction where magic might be the future that science is headed towards. And it doesn't have to be what we think it would be. Like, it could be modernized, rational, applicable. And it's so fascinating because when you realize that so much of what we know to be scientific fact today has all been considered magic at some point, like, hello. And the history of science has repeatedly shown us that today's scientific concepts will eventually be replaced by things that we simply cannot fathom right now, you know? And obviously we know a lot more now than ever before, but like, at what cost? Like, are we kind of at the point right now where we're all a little too comfortable deciding whether or not something is possible or whether or not something is real? Because that's kind of what it seems like. And we're once again getting in our own way by doing that. And to push it a little bit further, we already talked about the ways that societal conditioning could be an obstacle on the road to like having magic in our daily lives. And when I say magic, I don't know, like, your head could go to many different places. I'm pretty sure his big three types of magic that he talks about are divination. Hold on, let me grab it. Force of will. So think like the law of attraction, maybe even like spell casting. Divination. So think mirror gazing and tarot. Theurgy. I hope I said that right. Which is kind of like communication with spirits, like think mediums. So those are like his main three types of magic. And it actually has, like, a lot of them have been studied in labs, which he talks about a lot of different experiments that were done. He talks like odds against chance. Like, it's all very fascinating. But anyway, you know, I already talked about the ways that societal conditioning kind of is an obstacle right now on the road to like a future where all of this is accepted. So like skeptics, fear of being ridiculed, religion, like those are kind of all like the societal conditioning aspects. But our evolutionary brains as humans are a huge obstacle as well, because evolution has kind of conditioned us to only see what's right in front of us, to not see the true interconnectedness of the universe. Like, we as humans see ourselves as separate, 100% separate, which does kind of make sense from an evolutionary perspective. Like, I know, like, that's like a common theme, especially in like Eastern religions, like, attachment is the root of all suffering, thinking that you're separate from the universe is the root of all suffering, and all you have to do is know that I am you and you are me and everything you're looking at is a mirror. Like we've all heard that before. But it makes sense that, think of humans as they were evolving, being alert, being able to detect danger, being able to protect ourselves on a personal level, protect our families, protect ourselves, like, that would naturally weaken our ability to see reality as it really is, because we're constantly in this state of survival and protection, and that was kind of it. And it makes sense because we're basically animals, right? And that's how animals evolve, that's how animals behave. But the whole point is that we as humans are evolving, and this is kind of hopefully the inevitable turn that our evolution takes if we don't, you know, mess it up. There's just so much to unpack, and I could ramble forever, but yeah, Real Magic by Dean Radin. Whew, that was quite a lot. Let's summarize. Read Real Magic by Dean Radin. It will 100% change the way that you view magic, and it will just become so much more tangible. Read A Court of Thorns and Roses if you love fantasy, and watch Peter Pan live action 2003 on Netflix, because that shit is beautiful. Jeremy Sumpter, if you're listening to this, thank you for doing the Lord's work. Oh, and do something today to make your inner child happy. Wear the fun earrings, get the fun color on your toes. I don't know. Do what you have to do. Do it for her. Time to get into the topic at hand. This was the episode that I had recorded. I recorded back in January or February, and it was kind of inspired by all of the things that I started doing for myself in 2022. Basically, where this is coming from is I think 2022 was such a transformative year for me. I think it's the most transformative year I may have ever had in my life. I started implementing all of these daily habits into my life that just made my life so much better. And I wanted to talk about them. I also wanted to talk about the ones that I still have yet to really get a grasp on and implement, but that I had goals to implement. So hopefully you can listen to this and you can take some inspiration. You can take what sounds like it will work really well for you. You can leave whatever doesn't sound like it resonates, and that'll be the beauty of it. I think my main takeaway from implementing all these habits into my life is just that who you want to be, like when you think of the person that you really want to be in the life that you really want to have, you have to start with the day-to-day. Otherwise, where do you even start? You have to start with the day-to-day. What does your day-to-day look like? What does the person you want to be, what does she do every single day? And I just have found that to be a really, really great place to start. The decisions that you're making every day, like those are the decisions that are important. I'm actually like very new at doing things for myself. I feel like I floated through life until I was like in my 20s. And even then it was questionable. I've made decisions in the past that I'm very grateful I made and that I genuinely believe were in my own best interest. But the thing with that is I believe that sometimes the most impactful things that happen to you in life usually come pretty unexpectedly and without reason. For example, two of the best decisions I think I've probably ever made were, number one, getting a college degree in radio and television. And don't tell him I said this, but number two, it was probably deciding to move in with my boyfriend. And the funny thing is, I cannot remember a single thing I was thinking when I made either of those decisions. Like when I think back, it's like head empty, no pros and cons list, no planning ahead, not even necessarily any standout obvious reasons why I thought they were good ideas. It was just the full knowledge that it was what I was meant to do without a doubt in my mind. Like it was just knowledge that was like implanted into my brain cells, which sounds psychotic to say, but it's true. Head empty, just making the right decisions. So I do think that some things can just be divinely put into your brain to impact your life for the better. And that's a totally separate thing. And sometimes that's beyond your control. Well, I mean, I guess taking the leap to do certain things is in your control. Like the knowledge can be put there, but whether or not you act on it is up to you. But those kinds of instances, you know, you're lucky if you get just one or two of those kind of epiphany moments in your entire life. So, separate thing. What I want to talk about today is a little more tangible than all of that. Sorry if I lost you there. Let's come back. Focus. It's the day-to-day. It's the discipline and the planning and the intentional ways that I've started to show up for myself. So let's get into it. Here are the habits that I've successfully formed. Some are simpler than others, but all of these have had noticeable, lasting impact, and I'm not overly romanticizing any of it, okay? I promise. This is real shit. Habit number one, and we're starting this one because I want to scream it from the rooftops, and that is morning sun. It is the most therapeutic, restorative, relaxing, yet energizing at the same time part of my entire day. And carving out the time for it has been a game changer. If you don't know what I'm talking about, basically every single morning I wake up and I walk outside and I let the sun get into my eyes for like 5 to 10 minutes. And just to paint a picture of how impactful this has been, the other day my coworker was like, oh, you don't have, what did she say? She said, you don't have seasonal depression? And I thought about it for a minute. I was like, well, let's think. I had full blown 365 day out of the year depression for most of my teenage years and a big chunk of my adult life as well. And then I started getting morning sun. So no, I don't think I have seasonal depression or any type of depression whatsoever anymore. And I know that's a heavy claim. I am not trying to sit here and act like anything I'm about to say is like the secret to fixing your mental health. Like, that's not what I'm trying to say. I know it's very complex. I have done so many things that have probably contributed to the fact that I'm not depressed anymore. I'm not saying it's all this, okay? But my mood is really, really great, like 99% of the time. And I genuinely believe this has a lot to do with it. I will die on the morning sun hill. I'm fully willing to lay to rest here peacefully. Get your morning sun. I also want to throw out there, I know this will be much easier for some than others. For example, I used to live on the 11th floor of an apartment building, and I don't anymore. Would I have been able to do this back then? I mean, I could have, but it would have taken a lot more effort because now I literally can just, you know, walk into my backyard, and I'm very grateful for that. In the summer, it's a lot easier to sit out in the sun, and in the winter, you do have to sit outside longer to get the benefits, double the amount of time. Like, I would say you could probably get away with 5 minutes of morning sun in the summer, and you probably need about like 10 minutes in the winter to get the benefits. And when I say benefits, I just mean like the elevated mood, setting your circadian rhythm, like naturally energizing your body for the day, things like that. I don't really have the science behind it. If you know a scientist that knows about morning sun, send them my way, please. And I know that there are so many other factors at play here. Like, maybe you get up and go to work before the sun even rises. Or maybe you get up and it's super cold and rainy and, like, I get it. I actually don't get morning sun when it's raining. Like, screw that. I just kind of skip it. But there are so many factors at play. That's why I said it's easier for some than others. But I'm just speaking from my personal experience, and I can almost guarantee that anything that you're willing to do to get yourself out in the morning sun, it will be worth it. Number two. Second habit, I learned how to read an ingredient label at the grocery store. And the way that I learned was from a class that I took, a virtual class that I took with Casey Goins, who's also been on this podcast, probably my favorite interview I've ever done. But I took one of her classes. She's not paying me to say this, but I did. And I learned a lot. I learned how to read an ingredient label. I learned what to look for in terms of like what's good and what to avoid. And it's been a game changer. Like, I'm able to pick up any packaged food at all and know if it's a good product or not, if it's has good ingredients or not. So I recommend doing your research on this. I recommend putting in the time, paying the money to take a class if you have to. Like, it's just one of those skills that I think is essential. Like, everyone should have this skill. And it's insane that not a lot of people do. I mean, I guess technically it's even more insane that we live in a world where we even need this skill to begin with. Like, we need the skill of being able to like decipher what is written on our food. Yeah, that's probably more insane, but that's the world we live in. So yes, being able to do this is so important. This is the kind of thing that I'm looking at as like, where if you were going to pay for some kind of online class, I know it's like really big right now. A lot of people in like the social media space, it's becoming so big to be like a life coach or be offering online courses. Like, that's like the next step of evolution in like being an influencer, I think. Like, people are branching out and they're finding new ways to make a career out of sharing their knowledge and their expertise. And I think it's great. It just makes it that much easier for you to be able to find someone to learn this information from. There are so many people that have had careers in Western medicine, went to school for Western medicine, and they've kind of turned more to the holistic side, more to like the online course space. And I just think those people are worth learning from. Anyway, I'm getting so sidetracked. I don't know what you have to do it, but learn how to read an ingredient label. That is also a game changer. Okay, hand in hand with that, number three is cooking at home, and with that, buying quality groceries. I think the way that I like to word it to myself is like, what are you spending your money on if not good groceries and good food? Like, what are you spending your money on if not that? And how important could it possibly be? Especially like learning to read an ingredient label is really freeing, but it's also like, damn, I was blissfully unaware before this. And now I'm reading everything I'm picking up and most of it is garbage. So as I said earlier, like getting to know my menstrual cycle, most of that journey so far has been food related and eating the right things at the right times. I would say I transformed the way that I eat more in the last year than in my entire life. And I am not exaggerating. I would eat like 2 meals a day, maybe 3, but usually 2. And like chickpeas would be my main source of protein. And I lived like that for a really long time. And I didn't know how to cook. Like my boyfriend did most of the cooking for us. We moved in together. And my dad loves to cook. So he was always cooking for me in, you know, college and before that. So I never really had to cook for myself and I had no interest in learning, but I strapped down and I learned how to do it. Step one, learn how to read the ingredients labels. Step two, buy the quality groceries based on the knowledge you have about the ingredient labels. And three, learn how to cook them. This process is so important. And maybe, you know, maybe a lot of people do know how to do this, okay? But I didn't, and it was a very foreign concept to me. And now it's just the core of my entire week. It's just such an essential foundation to having my life together and feeling good about myself. I did start my fitness journey like 2 years ago in 2021. I started lifting weights and going to the gym consistently. And I was like scratching my head wondering, why am I not seeing a difference? Bitch, you are eating chickpeas every single day and you are not eating enough. You're having like 20 grams of protein per day. Knock it off. I'm so happy that I've moved past this phase of my life. Okay, I'm thrilled. Cooking at home means knowing everything that's going in your food, knowing all the ingredients, knowing what oils you're using, like knowing that it's just olive oil and buttering and all the good stuff. And I think that's easy for everyone to get on board with, like knowing what's going in your food and knowing that it's good quality, like that's all great and everything. I'm going to take it to a new level and make it a little witchy. I genuinely believe that the process of cooking my own food every week and having intentions for everything that I cook. And I didn't even really realize I was doing this, but like, it's so true. I set aside time every single weekend and I cook like 2 or 3 meals to eat throughout the week. And in this process of cycle syncing, I have intentions for each meal. And I don't care what anyone says, that makes me a witch. But anyway, I've fallen in love with that process. It's something I look forward to every week. And just like many people, I wake up and I go to work and I work 40 hours a week. And it's so important to me to have food with me that I made myself. I know everything that's in them. I know I'm hitting that protein goal for the first time in my life. And I know that the intention is there. I know that I'm serving my body. Oh, it's just been so great. I've actually not really like talked about it out loud, but like I'm so new to it and talking about it feels so good. And you'll feel so good when you start doing this for yourself. And I know it's hard. Like, who the hell has time? Make time for it. Like I said, what are you spending your money on if not good food? And how important could it be? What are you spending your time doing if not cooking the good food? And how important could that be? Okay, I'm done being preachy. Okay, no, I'm not, because we still have a few more habits to go. And I'll die on all of these hills. That's why we're talking about them. That's why they're in this episode, because I'm so passionate about every single one of them. So number 4 is taking me a lot of courage to talk about and say, but we're going to go ahead and say it. Number 4, in 2022, I stopped taking birth control. It was totally a personal decision that was the right one for me. I am in no way saying that it's the right decision for everyone, but you know, it was something that scared the living shit out of me, but I just couldn't shake the feeling that I needed to do it. And I have no problem exposing that super personal thing right now, because it's probably something I'll talk about a lot in the future on this podcast, because as I said earlier, the menstrual cycle is becoming a very big thing I've been putting my energy towards, and I knew it was important to me, and I knew I couldn't prioritize doing that without getting off of birth control. And thank God for birth control. Like, thank God we have it. I just I just didn't want to be on it anymore. That certainly was not one of those, you know, head empty, just do it moments. That was something I thought about a lot. And I wanted to do it probably like 6 months earlier than I actually did it. But I had to like grapple with it and think about it. And oh my God, that's so scary. Is it the right thing to do? I don't want to get pregnant. Ah! I grappled with it for months. And honestly, taking the leap and just doing it was in fact a way that I showed up for myself. And sometimes the things that seem the scariest are the things that you're meant to do the most. There are a lot of things in our society that are very accepted as normal and okay. And that doesn't mean that they are. It doesn't mean that they're not, but it also doesn't mean that they are. And I just think that having the courage to not do certain things is one of the best things you can do for yourself. So I stopped taking birth control. That could look like something else for you, but what a way to show up for yourself. Do the things that are scary, do the things that are not accepted by a lot of people, and do with that what you will. Okay, we're almost done. This last one is so cringy, so I'm so sorry in advance, so cheesy. A way that I have shown up for myself, just being committed to the transformation, because it's hard. It's really hard. It's really easy to say all the things that you want to start doing every day and all the goals that you want to achieve and do the manifestation technique where you just script out the person you want to be. None of that is really anything without aligned action, as they say. The habits, the day-to-day habits, and the commitment. That's a big one. Just having the commitment is how you show up for yourself. Having the commitment, being committed to the transformation. We'll say it like that. Those are all the ways that I have already shown up for myself and the ways I'm currently showing up for myself. So now I want to dive into the ways that I want to continue to show up for myself. The things that I kind of started to do but don't really have like a firm grasp on yet. Maybe you can draw inspiration from these as well and we can start doing them together. So the first thing, I would say for the past year or so, I've been talking to my ivy plant whenever I water her, and she's thriving. She's basically touching the ground and she's hanging from the ceiling. So based off of that, I think I want to implement, like, I don't know, mirror affirmations or something into my daily routine so that just like my ivy plant, I thrive. I say nice things to her, she thrives. I should say nice things to me so that I thrive. And a really good idea that I've seen is whenever you want to implement something like this, it's easier when you tie it to a habit that you already have, because that will remind you to do it. So think of the first thing that you do when you wake up in the morning. For me, it's brush my teeth. So I could start doing it then. Whenever I brush my teeth, I'm already in front of the mirror, so it's perfect. And when you tie them together, then it'll just be easier to remember to do. So I want to start doing that. The next thing is kind of something that I have been getting better at, but I still want to work on, and that is either low dopamine or dopamine free mornings and evenings. So basically no phone 1 hour after waking up and 1 hour before going to bed. I want to work on this mostly for the sake of the blue light not being the first and last thing that my eyes see every day, because the idea of that makes me spiral. I'm already pretty good about not going on my phone until after I get morning sun. I think that's the most important step to this, like see the sun before you see your phone. But yeah, I don't want blue light to be the first thing that I see every day. And I feel like you just naturally feel more energized throughout the day when you aren't giving away your energy to other people the second you wake up. Because that's basically what you do. Like even just responding to texts, you're immediately giving your energy away. And finally, the last way that I want to start showing up for myself, it seems very specific to me, but I'm going to let you know how you can do this as well. So for me, I really want to start practicing guitar during my follicular phase. And your follicular phase is the time after your period, and it's kind of the best time to practice new things and incorporate new habits and start new hobbies. So for me, I want to start practicing guitar during that time, but think of something that you've been wanting to do or been wanting to put more energy towards or want to learn. Whatever that might be, the follicular phase is the time to do it. So I'm going to make more of an effort to practice guitar during my follicular phase. I promise to myself. And I don't care if my skin on my fingers peels away to nothing, I am going to do it because my guitar is collecting dust and it's so sad. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. It means more to me than you could possibly know. I really hope you're able to take something away from this episode. I hope something sounds like something that you want to try or reminds you that you need to start back up with doing. Please write me a review on Apple Podcasts and please follow me on Instagram at Secrets in Nature Podcast. I am so excited for what is to come. I have a couple of interviews lined up for the next few episodes that are going to be so juicy and so out of my comfort zone. Like, honestly, I can't even believe that they're going to be coming to fruition because it's just something that I never even knew if I would have the courage to talk about. But we are going to do it, so do not go anywhere. That is all for this week on Secrets in Nature. Thank you so much, and I will see you next time.